Hello, friends. Welcome to the 16th day of March and the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm Paul. I want to thank you for joining me today and remind you that we have a Sunday drop. Every week, I put out a full-length sermon on Sunday, and on Saturday, I tell you about it, give you a little behind the scenes. The message you can look for tomorrow is from last Sunday at the Garden Church of the Midlands in Irmo, South Carolina. I'm continuing our journey through the Christian lectionary. This is quite a season as we watch the life of Jesus unfold. The lectionary reading for last Sunday was John 3, verses 14 to 21. So I preached a sermon titled, The Son of Man Lifted Up. This is a moment in the conversation between Nicodemus and Jesus, where Jesus says to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted a serpent on a pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Three times in the Gospel of John, Jesus uses a euphemism for crucifixion, but never says crucifixion, because crucifixion was so gruesome, so outlandish, and so insulting that not even Jesus would not even say the word. And so three times he says lifted up, and every time he's meaning dying on a cross, but he redeems the action by comparing it to a story from Numbers 21 where Moses lifts the bronze serpent on the pole. So I deal with the Numbers version of the story, why it existed, and how Jesus puts himself on the pole. He puts himself lifted up. We talk about the cross. We talk about recovering the scandal of the cross. We talk about changing the way we think of the cross so that it becomes as jarring as it can, because it's what it needs to do from time to time. We talk about the cross as the source of sort of sentimentality and how that might need adjusted. But at the end of the day, we talk about seeing everything in us as crucified in the one who's been lifted up. This is a message that I'm sure will challenge you, but I pray will bless you and will cause you to see Jesus in a beautiful light. So look for it tomorrow. Wherever you get your podcast, you can get the audio version of The Son of Man Lifted Up. And you, if you like video, you can get that at our YouTube channel, PWM. We are always putting content there. And of course, the every Sunday full-length sermons, most midweeks, we do a midweek service. We didn't last week. We will put a little video up this week. I'll just go ahead and give you a heads up. We will put a little in-studio message up this week. In the middle of the week. It won't be our normal Tuesday night dropped on a Wednesday, but it'll be a short video dropped on Wednesday about some things going on. So look for that, and we will be back to doing the Tuesdays in just a couple of weeks. Okay, today I want to finish up something that we worked on the last few days. If you've listened to the DDP sequentially, you know that the last 3 days, we aired a previously released sermon for you. I aired portions of it, about 35 minutes, and there wasn't 7 or 8 minutes left in that sermon. It was called Distracted and Troubled. It's taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. That's where we are in our sequential journey. So I want to read those verses today, and I don't want to reteach what we did for the last 3 days, but I do want to give you a sum up. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. And I don't want to reteach from the last couple of days, but a good summation, as far as I'm concerned, is that Martha is often sort of mislabeled here as focusing on the wrong thing. We say that she should have been at Jesus' feet instead of cooking. But the truth is that someone's got to cook, okay? someone has to prepare the meal. If no one prepares the meal, there's no meal prepared. If no one does the things that so many people call religious, then the church doesn't exist as we know it. If no one shows up to turn on the lights, if no one takes care of the preparing the communion elements, if no one rehearses for a song, if the stuff that we get to where we're like, well, you know, this is becoming a labor, this is becoming a burden. And believe you me, I know things can. Things that can are beautiful can become toxic. And but if no one does it, then it doesn't get done. So the point of the story is not that Martha chose the wrong thing. It's that Martha, and this is reflected in the Greek, she's distracted and troubled. Those are words in the Greek that really have a much deeper connotation. She's been dragged into things that now consume her. So the problem is not that we're doing other things. It's that they drag us into a space where they rob us of our joy. They drag us into a space where we can do nothing else. And Mary has chosen to not allow the things of this system to drag her, but instead she's been drawn to the presence of Jesus. The challenge for all of us as we read this story is that we face our lives in which it's easy to get dragged into other people's problems, dragged into the news cycle, dragged into conspiracy theories, dragged into politics, dragged into money, dragged, pick it, dragged into hobbies, things that can even be good. All of those things can be fine, but we get so dragged into them, we get so drawn, taken, distracted, that we miss the most needful thing. And this is why there is a discipline in Christianity of finding space to just be quiet, to pray, to spend time with God. I don't think it's a coincidence that the very next story that we're going to get to starting tomorrow in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, is where the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. And I don't think it's coincidental that we've just left a story in which someone's been dragged about by the cares of life while her sister has sat at the feet of Jesus, and Jesus has commended the sitting. The disciples know that Jesus is one who sits with his Father. They've watched him do this, and they're putting two and two together. There's something about the way he conducts his life that's different than the way they conduct theirs, and that's different than the way Martha conducts hers. And they want to know the secret to that Mary lifestyle, to that Jesus lifestyle. And they suspect that it's in how he prays. So tomorrow we'll get into what we all call the Lord's Prayer. Some of your Bibles call it the Model Prayer. And each day for the next few days as we work through this, we're going to pray it. And I think this is going to be a wonderful journey as we're getting closer and closer to Passion Week. And we got a lot of great stuff coming up. I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. God bless.